Check, 1, 2, check, 1, 2.
Good morning. Hey, it's good to see everybody here this morning. A little light on one side of the room, but that'll work out. Got Mitch on that side.
That's because that's where the sun comes in.
That's right. And we're all basking in the sun this morning. Little rough night last night, but the Lord's in control. That's all that matters. Do we have any birthdays this week? No birthdays. Anniversaries? No anniversaries. Okay. Did anybody remember to bring an extension cord? And Mark, do you still need them?
Yeah, we can still use them.
Okay. Outdoor?
Yes, preferably.
Right. 100 to foot, preferably, too, I guess.
I didn't bring that.
Well, look who's here. Leroy and Bernice are here this morning, and it's good to see you out. Like to welcome our watchers on Facebook. Glad to have you with us here too at the Lexington Christian Church.
Amen.
Any other announcements we need to make this morning, Mitch?
Not that I'm aware of. I think you're still having class tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Class tonight about 5:00.
All right. Sounds great. Okay, let's all stand and worship the Lord with number 534 to open things. Rise up, O men of God. So good. Number 616, 616. Mitch, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Sure. Our Father and God, we can't give you enough thanks and praise because you are so good. You have proven your love to us by dying on the cross, paying a debt that we could not pay, that we might receive a gift that we could not earn. So, Lord, we gather here to worship you, and we want to learn more of your will so that we may do it. So, Lord, teach us, mold us, make us, use us for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our communion hymn this morning is number 292, Behold the Lamb. This morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
One of the most insidious lies that our enemy tells us is a two-word phrase, you can't. It says you can't. You can't be the kind of parent your child needs. You can't get the job done. You can't provide food and clothing and the occasional vacation for your family. Well, guess what? God says otherwise.
Amen.
I can is one of the most important lessons we can learn from our identity in our Creator and Savior. Story after story throughout God's Word, we see people who thought they couldn't. Yet God proved them wrong. They were able to do what they could do because God was with them and empowered them. Moses thought he couldn't lead God's people out of Egypt, but God said otherwise. David wondered if he could survive King Saul's manhunt, but God said he could. Jeremiah didn't think he could stand up to God's people, but God said he was able.
Amen.
In the Bible, we learn that we are able because God is strong. He helps his faithful ones, and he has empowered us to accomplish what he's called us to do.
Amen.
Samuel's words remind us we can scale any wall. David tells us with God's help, we can do mighty things and walk through anything that devastates us. God raises us up and helps those who fall. Paul boldly declares we are able to do all things because of God's mighty strength and power. Our enemy is wrong. You can because God says you are able.
Amen.
Words we need to remember the way things are these days.
Yes.
Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this day you've given us and allowing us to gather here to worship you and study your word, sing our praises to you. We ask your blessings on these emblems today as we partake the bread which represents Jesus' broken body and the juice which represents his spilled blood. Let us do these in remembrance of thee. Be with us throughout the rest of this service and the rest of the day. Please forgive us of all of our sins. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room to eat the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, broke it, blessed it, passed it among them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat of it." And after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, passed it among them, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again." Drink of it, all of you. Let's stand for the doxology. Savior, like a shepherdly, Savior, well, where am I? I have no idea. Our next hymn will be Shepherd of Love, number 446. You saw. sermon topic this morning, of course, is the story of a good shepherd. And we're trying to fit the music in to fit with the, as we always do, always try to fit the music with the sermon. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. 449. Seated. Brother Wayne, you have the scripture for us this morning.
Today's reading is Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish.
Amen. Thank you, Wayne. Good morning.
Morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
You know, as we continue on here in this study, in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, here we read what is called, and at least in the NIV, the parable of the wandering sheep or the lost sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but I can identify with that. There's been a time or times in my life when I was the one who wandered away. I was the one who strayed and became lost from the rest of the group, the flock. And if you have been that one before in your life, and I think everybody at some point in time in your life strays away as a Christian. Usually it's early on, but not always. Some people have been Christians for a very long time. They lose a dear loved one, and it hurts them so deeply they blame God, at least in a roundabout way, and they stop going to church, and they stop having anything to do with the Christian group that they normally would have associated with. And that's sad when that happens. Some of us are just lured away by the things of the world. When I was younger, that's what happened to me. I was wounded by an older, more mature Christian. And I thought, well, what's the point? And that's when I really got into worldly things. That's when I joined the Navy, ran off, drugs, alcohol, women, the whole works. But you know what? I may have left Jesus, but Jesus never left me. He never left me. There were plenty of times when someone would come to me and invite me to go to church, or someone would come to me and ask, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? And so even though we wander off sometimes, we're still being guided. We're still being watched over. That's what a good shepherd does. He still comes to find us and to bring us back into the fold. Back to where there's safety in numbers. Back to where we're protected by our good shepherd. You know, you see the Christmas cards with the shepherd, with the cane that's got the crook on the end, and you know, there's been lots of people who have interviewed shepherds. And if you read some of those, it's very interesting because there is a special bond that is built between a shepherd and his flock. The flock learns to trust that shepherd because the shepherd is good to them. The shepherd cares for their needs. The shepherd is the one who feeds them. The shepherd is the one that leads them into the green pastures where there is a place where they can be refreshed. They have a comfortable place where they can lay down if they want to, but they can also graze and eat. And then they lead them beside the still waters so they can get a drink. So that their every need is provided. When the wolf comes, it is the shepherd that addresses the wolf. He does not stick the sheep out there and say, okay, you take care of this wolf. No, it is the shepherd himself who runs the wolf off and protects the sheep from the wolf. Now, who's the wolf?
Satan
is the wolf. And we're told that he does what? He roams seeking whom he may devour. That's why we're called sheep, by the way. Compared to Satan, we're just little sheep. He's the wolf. And he's always looking for someone he can devour. Now, in this case, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to eat us all up. Okay? But what it does mean is that he's going to try to destroy our faith. Satan and his ilk come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And that's exactly what they do. Do you know why we have such a drug problem in America? Because the wolf is busy. The wolf is busy at work. He gets so many people sidetracked and thinking the answer is found in this pill or in this pipe or in this bottle. That's where the answer is.
No, it's not. That's where destruction is. That's where death is. And that's his specialty, death and destruction. Why do you think so many young people today end their lives in suicide? Because the wolf is busy. The wolf is always trying to find that sheep, the youngest, the weakest, the one that's got a broken leg, the one that's wounded. Well, I got news for you, folks. We're all wounded in some way or another, right? We've all been wounded at some point in time. Somebody has broken our hearts. Someone has lied to us. Someone has stolen from us. Someone has done us wrong. And we have to be very, very careful when that happens. While we're wounded, Satan, the wolf, is attacking. He is trying to isolate us off from the rest of the flock so he can devour us. Conquer, divide and conquer, you know, divide and conquer. Get us off by ourselves. You know, it amazes me at how many people want to sit at home on Sunday and say, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's a half-truth, folks. That's a half-truth. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That is a true statement. But it's only a half-truth. Because the truth is, if you're truly a Christian, you will want to go. You will have a desire to fellowship with God's people. You will have a desire to hear God's word. Do you know why people say that? It's because the wolf has lied to them. He's got them staying off by themselves, away from the rest of the flock, so that he can devour them more and more. He feeds off of them all the time. And ultimately, he often ends their life. Sometimes he convinces them to end it by them, for themselves and by themselves. I've even known of ministers that took their own lives because the devil convinced them, well, I've put out here and I love these people so much and no one loves me back. Nobody ever does anything for me. I'm always doing... I'm sorry, that's a lie from the pit of hell. And I can tell you right now, if it wasn't for you folks, I wouldn't be eating here as good as I am. I've been getting more food than I know what to do with. So I just eat it. And it's all been good. But you know, we have to be careful that we don't have things in common with the wolf. We want to be like the shepherd, right? We want to care for each other. We want to love each other. We don't want to be like the wolf who tells lies and gossips and tries to pick and choose who you love and who you don't and divide between people and divide people from each other. Why, did you hear what so-and-so did or what so-and-so said? That's division, folks. I'm sorry. We don't do that as Christians. We're more like the shepherd. The shepherd says, it didn't matter what they said. Do you remember what happened when Peter asked about John? Peter said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. You follow me. Now, folks, that's the way we're supposed to live. That way we're being more like the shepherd instead of like the wolf. We don't worry about what other people's doing in their lives. They may be doing exactly what God told them to do, and we just don't understand it. Sometimes some of the things that God has told me to do made absolutely no sense to me. But to the person that it was intended for, it made perfect sense. You know, I've preached sermons before that I thought was completely void of content and had people come up to me afterwards, that's the best sermon I ever heard. I'm like, what? You really stepped on my toes. Really? So, you know, we can't go by just what we feel and what we think. We have to let him be the one to decide what's right. You know, the only safety for a sheep in the flock is found in the shepherd. This is their only safety,
is to be where the shepherd is, to stick with the shepherd, because the shepherd is the one who will fight the wolf and the bear or anything else, the lion, whatever comes. The shepherd is going to be the one that goes and addresses and takes care of that need. And when one of the sheep wander off and get lost, he goes after it. Now, does that mean that the other 99 are totally unguarded? No, it doesn't. He leaves an under-shepherd in charge while he goes and searches for the one that's lost. We've all seen the picture of Jesus with the lamb across his shoulders carrying the lost sheep back. Well, folks, if you, like me, have been that lost shepherd, you've experienced that. You've experienced that love of the shepherd coming back after you and carrying you back into the fold, back to the path where you're supposed to be. I tell you what, folks, has any of you besides me, when you were driving in an unfamiliar place, ever been lost? Hey, I'll tell you, one of my worst experiences as a truck driver, I was up in New York in the Bronx, of all places. And I got turned around, and I ended up going the wrong way on a one-way street. And this cop pulls up there beside of me, stopped me. He ran over there, and he said, "You're not from here, are you?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Indiana." He said, "Okay." He said, "Let's get you turned around. Let's get you out of here." I said, "I would appreciate that. And could you tell me where I'm supposed to be?" I told him where I was going, and he told me how to get there. He even told me, "Don't take this road because there's a overpass that's too short. You won't make it." So he gave me the right directions. You know, we have to have the right directions, and we have to have somebody to help us get back on track. And that's what the Good Shepherd does. We get turned around sometimes. We hear something that's not entirely true, but we buy it, and we end up going the wrong way for a little while. But then the shepherd comes and corrects that. You know, that officer could have given me a ticket. He could have been rude and obnoxious, but he wasn't. He was very professional and very helpful. He understood. That was the first question. "You're not from here, are you?" "No, sir." And, you know, I appreciated that, because getting a ticket would have really took a big chunk out of my paycheck. And there's so many things, though, so many things in life that pull us in this direction or pull us in that direction. Or, you know, and it's even sometimes people, our family members, our friends, sometimes they want to pull us over here or over there, but that's not where God wants us to go. And sometimes we forget to ask, we forget to look to see where the shepherd's leading us. We look over here and we see this green grass and we think, "Oh man, that looks good." And go over there and start eating on that green grass. Pretty soon you look up and the flock's gone. You're by yourself. Then what? Start crying out for the shepherd. That's when we pray, folks. We cry out through prayer. And the shepherd hears. And he doesn't just say, "You lot lost, you find your way back." No, he doesn't do that. You know, my dad used to always tell us, "You get yourself in a bind, you're going to have to get yourself out." But that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, "All ye who are burdened and heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest." Wow. What love the Savior has for us. That even though we are the ones who pursue being wrong, we are the ones who get sidetracked, we are the ones who choose to follow something else other than Him,
And yet he still says, cry out and I'll find you and bring you back. Cry out and I'll come to you. You remember when Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water, and he got sidetracked looking at the storm. He got scared and fell in. And he cried out to the Savior, and immediately Jesus was there, grabbed his hand, pulled him out, put him in the boat. Folks, we've got a God that's not about punishment. Can't just wait to squash you like a bug every time you make a mistake. No, we have a Savior who loves us and wants to rescue us, wants to show us what's right instead of what's wrong, wants us to live a life of blessing instead of a life of curse. He wants us to feel his love and to return it and to share it. Amen. So my question is, how are we doing with that? Are we receiving the love that he has given us? Are we truly allowing him to guide us as the good shepherd guides the flock? Are we going where he says go? Are we doing what he says to do? And when we receive that love, are we then returning it and sharing it? If you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 369, Jesus, I Come. Let's stand and sing.